Good morning. Did anyone have a hot night last night? Well, that's really good. You guys look like you've got some extra endorphins or something going on this morning. Come on in, grab your seat, take a seat. I received that. Well, good morning. I don't know as if you are excited for today as I am, but I literally woke up before my alarm this morning excited for today. Yesterday was far more than I felt like after last night, if someone would have taken me outside and said, hey, to get back in today, you need to pay $5,000. I would have gotten my checkbook out and said, okay, who do I write the check to? Like, I got all my money's worth just yesterday in the morning session. So anyway, my name is Carmen. This is my amazing husband, Jackie, the most handsome man in the room. And we first started plugging into the DannyJohnson.com community, First Steps to Success, over a decade ago. And what brought us to these events was not marriage. It was business and making money. Because don't you know when you make more money, that just makes everything better? That's what they tell you. And so we both had businesses at the time. We were not married. We were actually neighbors living in a duplex next to each other. And my husband was a virgin. We were not touching each other. We were not doing any of that. And when we got plugged into the system, it worked. We both had success in business. My husband made a six-figure income for the first time. I took a little tiny business from $720,000 to $3.8 million. We have paid off over $250,000 in debt. We're completely debt-free. We have used this system and all those products at that back table literally to transform every area of our lives. And here we are dating. We both have successful businesses. We're like, man, we got this thing dialed. Like, life is good. We had money in the bank. We had everything planned. And no one prepared us for what was coming next. Because after all that success and after plugging into this community, then we got married.
And then, it's like a nuclear bomb went off in life. You know, how many of you know that marriage is a crucible? Like, it's like any weakness that you have gets exposed through marriage. You know, marriage makes you a better person. And you sometimes don't realize how weak you are in certain areas until you get in a marriage and you have to make it with somebody else. You know, I loved what Natan was saying yesterday. That guy was amazing. I loved what he was saying when he talked about the opposites. That was incredible. And that's what marriage is all about, right? We got married, and the truth is the biggest mistake was that we overestimated our abilities. But I got to tell you that the areas and the weaknesses that I have, and I'll tell you, my wife was amazing, 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 amazing. If it was not for her, we wouldn't be married today. But part of the foundation that made her so incredible, I mean so incredible, I do not deserve her. I do not deserve what I put her through. I do not deserve it. I do not deserve it. I take full ownership of that. But in that time, it comes from a place of hurt, and we make horrible decisions from a place of hurt. And had we not been through this training, because here's what the community did. In one area, we had too much confidence because we had success in so many other areas, and we mistakenly thought it translated perfectly into marriage. However, it was the foundation that we got through these training events that allowed her to be the woman who was able to be steadfast. I mean, I'll never forget the day that she called me. And those of you who most of you understand what a Ruby is. She calls me, and I've already done all the research. I found the highest priced attorney that did everything for everybody right, quickly and efficiently, in a very powerful, fast way. And for all the Atlanta Falcons ball players and all that stuff, the guy had been on court TV the whole nine yards. And I had just left his office, paid him $500 for consultation. And she says, "Hey, where you at?" By this point, we weren't sleeping in the same bed. We weren't, you know, she would make me food, and I would say, "Get that shit out of here. I don't want that. Why are you doing that?" I was horrible. And, you know, she said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "I'm leaving the attorney's office." And I could hear a voice crack on the other end. And I knew it was going to hurt her, but I was doing the right thing in my mind. But it was her ability to stay fast through everything that I put her through for the next several time, a little while after that. But it was this community and what she learned by being plugged into this community. You know, she had a confidant, one confidant inside of this community that had a super high level of leadership. To this day, they're friends. And because of that friendship, I will protect that friendship to my dying day. But she had one confidant that she could call and she could say, I need, you know, this is going on. And this woman would say, I hear you. I'm not equipped to handle this. You need to call so-and-so. And it would put her in contact with a counselor at the time. I hear you. I'm not equipped to handle this. And this person never degraded me as a husband or anything. And it was because of this community and being part of this community and seeing other couples who inspired us to grow, other couples who believed in us, who spoke life into us, but they didn't know what we were going through, allowed us to continue to grow. And when we started to heal and we started to mend, I started to move forward. You know, one of the things that we talked about is this community is so powerful. It has shaped us in so many areas. You know, I told Charles yesterday, he was sitting beside me, and I leaned back and I gave him a quick bro hug. And I said, you know, you got to do that masculine. And I said, I'm glad to be on this journey with you. I'm glad to be learning with you. It's where else on God's green earth can you be a part of a community like this? Where else on God's green earth can you be a part of people who are growing and learning and marriage is growing and you're raising better kids and you're becoming better people? By the way, we're all jacked the frick up. And what I love most is that I found out that my coach also has areas that she's been jacked the frick up. And our other coach, Hans, has areas that he's been jacked the frick up. And the reason that I follow these people, the reason that I plug into this training is because I see coaches that don't have a facade. Yes. I see coaches that are growing and becoming better people in the process. Yes. I see broken people. I see broken people who are broken ahead of me. Yep. I see broken people going through things so they can go back and share with me what's going on. Yes. And I'm gonna share something with you that I typically don't share. I got a phone call through my darkest time. And I got a phone call. I don't know how it occurred, but Miss Johnson heard that I was headed for divorce. And I was not polite to her on the telephone. I was not polite. And she was kind, and she was encouraging, and I was not polite to her on the telephone. I did not want her phone call. I did not care. It was none of her business. And in that moment, she said, Jackie, whatever you do, I may not agree with your decisions, but I love you, I love who you are, and I love where you're going. This woman cares. Yes. She cares for you. She cares where you're going. She cares what you're a part of. She is real. She is raw. Hans is real. He is raw. Hans did the best job I have ever seen him ever speak on stage in any product ever. Ever. You could see his heart for his bride, his heart for himself, his heart for his family. Has he made mistakes? Yes. Have you made mistakes? Yes. But we're all growing together. This community is unlike anything else. We're moving forward. We're making things happen as a people. The reason that I fell in love with my wife, the reason it took me a long time to say yes, by the way, it took me a long time to ask. What was I thinking? She gets better looking every freaking month. So, but when nobody else, early in my business, before I got plugged into this training, she's the first person who believed in me. When my family didn't believe in me, she believed in me. And I'm so thankful to this day that we've been able to grow as a couple. We've been able to learn together. No matter what, we'll go through hard times, but we will never give up on each other. I mark my words, we will never give up on each other. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, no matter where your marriage is at, no matter where your life is at, you have a coach that is never going to give up on you.
That's right.
You may give up on her. You may choose to quit coming. You may choose not to plug in. But she's going to be here steadfast, believing in you, praying for you. The company has prayer intercessors that are paid to pray for you. What company on this planet do you know other than Destiny Global that's a for-profit corporation that pays people to pray for their clients? Ladies and gentlemen, get on your feet. Help me welcome to the stage our America's favorite millionaire, our coach, Mrs. Danny Johnson.
Good morning. Please stop. Hi. You're so sweet. Thank you. He does. Yummy. So yummy. Okay, yeah, that's what we wanted to know. We wanted to take a few minutes to, first of all, thanks so much for yesterday. And honestly, I told Hans this morning with tears in my eyes that yesterday was transformational for me personally. Like, I got to go through yesterday. It's like, I'm sitting there going, yes! Like, I'm getting what I want! You know what I mean? I'm like, I want to go to a First Steps to Success so bad, man. And trust me, I have looked for them. And I haven't yet to find something that produces that same kind of experience. But yesterday, sitting there yesterday afternoon, hearing Hans, oh man, I was like getting so much conviction and also walking through our story again as he was sharing part of his journey. And then Natan, like, that was just so eye-opening about a man being alone and what that looks like and how that's acted out. Like, oh my gosh, I just love that I'm stupid. And I have so much more to learn. I absolutely freaking love that I am so far behind. And I learned a lot from both of these wise men. So did you want to say hi or something or whatever? Do you want to?
Oh, wow. Yawn. Good morning. Sean said he was speaking Hebrew last night. And I was like, what kind of Hebrew were you speaking, brother?
So wish you all could hear what's going on right now.
I won't say anything else.
Sean turned purple. And the purple was coming out of his mouth.
I was just still thinking about Hebrew. I was like, damn, I need to learn some of that stuff.
You were speaking Hebrew to me last night, too. You did. You read it.
I might have been speaking Sean's type of Hebrew.
Which was?
Hebrew! What's up? Behold. The pinnacle of creation. You guys know that's how it went, right? God was all done practicing. He was like, now watch some serious awesomeness stuff. Woman. He's like, I'm done.
Anyway, we've heard that you how many of you guys had a good day yesterday? That's awesome. Is there anybody that wants to share anything from yesterday that we've got in the back? Yeah. Anybody else that wants to share, like, something that has... Nope, nobody else. I want the guys. Thank you. Yes, one guy, guy with the hat, one next to you. Come on, come on. Yep. Yes, I want to hear from the heads of the household. And you're, are you here as a, are you married?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Let's go ahead and pass the mic.
Ooh, I'm breathing so hard. My name is Nisa. I'm from Dallas. Thank you for coming to my town. Thank you, thank you. I'm married to an amazing man who served in the Marine Corps. Semper Fi. One thing he told me when we met 17 years ago was Semper Fi, and I said, what is that? He says, always faithful. From that moment, this heart was his. Last night on our drive home, and I've been coming to you for a few years, Danny, we hammered out a 15-year argument in 30 minutes on our drive home. Wow. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Wow, pass it that way. Wow. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes. I worked with him on stage on Monday at San Antonio. Yeah, precious man, an amazing heart. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. So being a single man, mm-hmm. I have learned that I was placing myself in a higher position. I thought that I was just more important than every relationship. Any woman that I've had come inside of my life, I felt like that I was more important, and I needed to be seen as more important. I was putting myself above her, and that's not right. And so through yesterday's training and through hearing Hans speak about how he directs his and then guides, it leads himself, it just opened just huge doorways inside of my life for improvement, and thank you.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's awesome. Pass the mic that way.
The one thing that
your
I
name.
Have to share, I'm Jason, I'm from Kansas. That, in the third row, is my extremely hot wife. I've told a lot of people this morning. We've been coming to First Steps since D.C. last year, about 17 months. Mm-hmm. And you gave us the tools to save what we had because we were like that. Last night, you know, none of this works unless you take it home and use it.
Yeah.
It does no good just sitting in here. But yesterday and last night was... It was the best damn night we've had in over a year. Yes. And there's nothing we can do to thank you for that.
That's
all I got. It was awesome. So thank you.
That's amazing.
Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Hi, Hans. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Danny, for what you're doing. This is a prayer answered for us. And
awesome.
And thank you for your just your courage, authenticity, and that really speaks volume. And for Laura and I, I'm married to an awesome, beautiful
yes.
Ruby, who just has brought so much joy and energy into my life. But we felt like I misinterpreted that strong. Thank you, Hans, for illustrating that. That strong, persistent energy, maybe a little threatening to leadership, and I wasn't appreciating her. So the analogy that I'm Felucia, by the way, I didn't introduce myself, but the analogy that the rabbi made about the sun and the moon, and you know, leaving space for her to shine, to be who God created her to be, and to succeed, and to that really spoke volume to me. That analogy. And so thank you.
Yeah, it was huge.
That was huge. So thank you.
Yes.
You know when you don't want to be up here, and then you know that God is telling you go? So Whew, I'm very nervous. My heart is pounding. Yesterday was amazing. Thank you for your realness and your rawness. We've been coming to Danny for 4 years, and it was really hard because you hear people share on stage about how much their life was made better when they plugged in. And when we plugged in, our life became wrecked and not better. But it was because God was turning the soil and digging up stuff that we had to get through in order to be real and in order to survive. And so we've gone through so much stuff in the last 4 years, and they know how much we've hung on to our marriage and hung on to our marriage, and we've been waiting for this marriage seminar so much. And so yesterday, I can talk for hours of what we learned, all of us could, but the big one was the slander. That was really the big one for me, was in all my pain, when I finally started to share, I went through a position of feeling alone and lost and no one understanding how hard my life was, to finally, you know, sharing and feeling like, okay, at least now I have some family or I have some people and they know and I'm not alone. And then went to a position of overshare. And then there was 7 girlfriends that I was going to and sharing. And it, in my mind, it was all looking for help, but not realizing all of the slander that I was creating. And all of the doors that I was opening for people to then be in judgment with literally only what? Not even half the story. They would have this like tiny nugget of what was really going on. And it was creating thoughts and things in them that were not the whole story. And so I had to ask my husband yesterday if he would forgive me for being sort of in that self-righteous place. Of thinking that because I was the one, quote, that I felt was not doing things wrong, that it was okay for me to tell people what was going on. And I became in that position where I didn't realize how much I was slandering him. So thank you for your honesty and your realism. It was really incredible.
Absolutely. You know, what's so powerful about that is that I think it's in Psalms. It is in Psalms where God says, you know, 6 things I hate. No, but there's the 7th I hate. You know, the 7th is an abomination, and it's slander. It's not adultery. And adultery isn't even one of those things that he says that he hates. So, but it's slander. And how we hold up all of these other... Murder isn't even in there. Isn't that crazy? It has everything to do, and here's why. In the Hebrew, slander means to kill, to murder someone's spirit. Mm-hmm. It literally means to kill them.
Because that's exactly what's going on.
Yep.
It's the seed that's being sown and spoken, and the way that comes back. And the same thing happened to me. It was another one, part of that season. And the one that he showed me was, be careful what you say, a little bird will take it. Yeah. That's in Psalms 2. And whisper it into the ear, you know. And so, anyway, I could talk a bit on that too, but.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, very powerful, because how we can have relative righteousness and we can be looking at our husband's sin and justify and be blind to our own. And yet the one that we're doing is worse than the one that he's doing. And that's murder. It's such murder. And it never will heal the relationship, ever. That's awesome. Proud of you, girl. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm from Minnesota. Johnson family home. What really got me yesterday, and I'm speaking to you guys, we got a man over here who could kick my butt in 3 minutes. 3 seconds, probably. I don't doubt that. I really don't doubt that. And I'd rather just shake his hand and be friends with him and learn from him, because what he said yesterday and the way he said it, guys, that a real man, a strong man, is first plugged into his father,
yes,
and then is not afraid to be vulnerable. I sat there yesterday and watched him almost come to tears a couple of times, and that meant more to me than just about anything else I heard. You proved to me what a real man is. You proved that for me.
And you're from Minnesota, so maybe more than 3 minutes, but...
And maybe you're related, because his family's from Minnesota.
Yeah, you might be like my long-lost...
cousin or something.
Cousin or something like that.
Seriously, seriously. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, is there anything that you want to add or say, or it's on your heart?
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. And... yeah, I don't want to.
Go.
Come on.
Go.
Yeah, just the slander is big. Like, it's huge. Really, really big. That's why he says life and death is in the power of the tongue. It really is life and death. Like, big time. So... but how do we stop that, you know, when there's so much pain inside of us? And I think I mentioned this yesterday, but I think he allows those situations in our life. And Natan's message last night was insane. I was like, thank you for talking about all that, because I felt like it just like filled in every pocket and just totally... it just provided the context and the historical and the, so just getting that from a rabbi, I was like, wow, cool. And even some of the things he said that he and I had never talked about, and it just was confirming for what I knew that I heard and the instruction that I got. So anyway, yeah, I just...
so the question is, how do you fix it? And
yeah. Well, in my case, like I said, I think what happens is... well, this is what's going on. We talk as a vent, but that's not the cure. And he really wants to deal with the root. But if we keep venting that out like that, he never gets a chance to deal with what's really going on. So, and but it's a lot of pain to not... now, I'm not talking about a confidant or something like that, you know.
There's not seven confidants.
Yeah.
There's not five. There's not four. There's probably not even three.
Well, and today with social media, it's just like, you know, that's a whole nother thing right there.
Yeah.
So think about when you go on social media, and I don't know... you know, I know that there's a place for the sharing of testimony and or life experience and, you know, the impact that, that the connection that that can make and the impact that can have. But think about that seed that's just being scattered. What kind of, you know, what kind of seed do you want to be sowing? God will not be mocked. A man will not reap what he has not sown. So that means everything that we're experiencing is the result of something that we've done, said, thought. And so the hard part is just actually believing it. But when we're constantly venting that out, then that becomes our pain vent. And he wants to actually take that pain and use it to transform and conform us and mold us into his image. But we're so busy seeking everything out here and instead of going to him. And that's why I was saying, like, the first thing he worked with me on was to shut up, which was really hard. And both of us are very strong-willed personalities, but we're different in how that is expressed. And I was receiving that strength and that boldness as an attack or as an assault. And I didn't have the strength to just sit and to listen. So the first part was just shut up, you know. Okay, how do I do that, you know? And so then I would just go for a walk afterwards and just talk to him and just cry out and, you know, even yell at him, you know. And that's what he wanted. He wanted me to get honest with him and to spend that time with him. And over time, then he started to, and a lot of times for me, I don't know how it works for you, I don't usually get the answer that while I'm praying. For me, usually it comes while I'm doing something else. Maybe I'm working or I'm just, you know, doing something physically. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you know. And I always go, okay, Father, if that's from you, then it will be, you know. And if it's not, I don't need to worry about it, you know. So then just that patience, learning that patience to wait and trust. If this is from you, Father, then your word does not return void. And it has a purpose and a place and a time. And the time, even though I might want to see it now, the time that it takes is exactly what you're providing for me during that time period to be dealt with, to be molded and shaped and transformed. And so then that total abandoned trust frees him up. As long as we're trying to control things, he can't. He's like, okay, cool, you got it.
And the reason for
have
the
fun
control,
with that.
The reason for the control, meaning
is fear.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's fear. And I didn't realize that my whole life was just ruled by fear. Because of the poverty that I grew up in, because of the abuse, because of the abandonment, because of a dozen other things. And so even after having a beautiful wife and a beautiful family and a business and, you know, all, you know, forms of wealth, I still had fear of losing it, fear of loss. So my life was driven by that fear. Driven.
Yep.
And it drove me to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. It drove me to control things. So he took me through the process of losing everything and being all alone with him and asking him to kill me. So in that process, there was a deliverance of being ruled by fear. And I remember one time I was down in Belize with a guy who had, he sent to me during this time period that I don't think I'd be alive today if it wasn't for that relationship. And he was doing some ministry work down in Belize, and I was down there, and we were sleeping in these like really funky huts. Not really a hut; it was like a house, but it was just, you know. And we had to like clean off our beds to get all the bat poop off, because it had been a while since somebody used the bed and the bats, you know. So we're cleaning that up and everything, and then just, you know. You didn't really have a blanket, you just had a sheet, because that's really all you need. And so we were crashing, because there was a three-day retreat type thing, and he asked me to come down, and I'm not a very ministry-motivated person. I'm more business. The way my father's always dealt with me and spoken to me is through business and through our relationship, not through a conventional, you know, church-type ministry environment. So I remember being down there, and in the evening, the rain was hitting, and it was hitting that tin roof, and immediately it brought me back to my childhood growing up in Hawaii. And I used to love that sound when I was a kid, I used to love the sound of going to, you know, the rain, just hitting the tin roof. And I just felt him right there. He just said, "You're all right. It's going to be okay." And I just felt his spirit so strongly. And he dealt with a deep, deep poverty wound in me right there, and a wound of fear. You know, right there in that moment, you know. He said, "I got you." And you don't need to worry anymore. You don't need to fear. You don't need to strive. And I just had the best sleep of my life that night. So anyway, there's so many stories. We were talking last night about this a little bit, and it's like, oh yeah, and then there was this, and then there was that, and there were so many different, you know, my prayer, and I hope through the weekend that those come to me so that I can share them without, you know, in just more of an organic way. And yeah, anyway, so. But fear is major, you know. You can know how to deal with it here. And my way of dealing with fear, and it's a very effective way, until it isn't, just that offensive mindset, which is a warrior type, just get it, just attack what's attacking you type of thing. But in a relationship, how does that translate?
It was attacking what he thought was attacking
him. Yeah, so,
yep.
You know, how do you do that?
It's horrible.
So that might work in business. That might work in other things. But so now all of a sudden we've got this, you know, these conflicts rising up. And there's probably most of the room, so much of what I'm sharing maybe doesn't even apply because maybe your relationship isn't as in the kind of state that ours was, because it was crisis. I mean, our marriage, it bounced between different degrees of crisis. So it was a kind of this crisis thing, management mode type deal. So yeah, how do you, so that doesn't work, you know, you don't, so then you look at the life that Christ lived, and it was a life of surrender, and that's really hard for my personality type to do. So learning strength through gentleness, and I could never be told that because I had been told that, but he had to deal with me in my heart on some issues, and it's just been amazing the last 2.5 years. And Danny, one of the things, and we were talking about this last night, is that I started to ask him to show me her heart because I was so busy responding and reacting to the words and the body language. And, you know, Danny teaches and talks about that 97% of communication is nonverbal, right? Y'all have heard this. So if that's true, and you know, us guys, we're constantly trying, we're listening to the words, and we're in this reactionary loop of the words, and we're trying to solve the problem with the words, and the words are only 7%. So that was the lesson of the fruit, you know, which was really just the garden producing what I had sown. And so that's why he just kept dealing with me and said, "Don't worry about her. Don't worry about her. Worry about yourself. Let me deal with you." And for me, it was like I had to ask him beyond the words and the body language even, which would make up that other 93%, and ask him, "Father, what's the heart?" And he started to reveal that and share that, and Danny's heart was to follow. She's an incredible follower. In fact, that was what was stressing me out. I didn't know how to lead her. You know, she was asked questions and, you know, all these questions and stuff. And I'd be like, Because she's very strong woman and intense and a lot of questions. And so I just, you know, and then I was a CEO and I had employees with questions. And so every place I went, there was just questions. And I just got used to answering everybody's questions. But in our relationship, that wasn't, sometimes that wasn't what she was really asking. And I couldn't hear that. But he really started to show me her heart was to follow me and to support, show me those times. But then there was these other times that was, you know, so it's just, it gets confusing. You know, if you've been married for a lot of years, you can think, oh, I know this person or whatever. And then when it's not working, sometimes it's just, it's not simple. If you're trying to make sense out of the swirl. And so anyway, I don't know. Living in fear sucks. Living in fear is lame. It was what I was afraid to communicate. I couldn't share my heart. Because I was afraid of what she was going to think, what she was going to say. So I just didn't have the strength to just, and part of it was I couldn't even talk without it coming out like
aggressive,
or, you know, and even if I had a soft voice, well, you did this. Well, what is that? You know, that's that victim, and it's an accusation. So even though maybe so every time I would try to talk, I just didn't know how. I couldn't own my own crap. So by the time I would talk, because of that, kind of stuff it, then it would come out aggressive. And, you know, passive aggressive. And that was all because of fear. So when he dealt with me and showed me what real love is and planted that, you know, in my heart, and then he started to deal with those root issues, stuff that I didn't even know, you know. I was at 12 years old. I was living on my own, a friend of mine's dad, who I worked with and taught me how to work, and he became like a father figure. But I was abused by him, molested by him at 12, and I didn't, and I'd dealt with that, but I didn't know how that was affecting me. Because when that happened, a lie was planted in my head, and that lie was, you're not a real man. And that lie was so deep and so at a level that I consciously couldn't make that connection to, not until later when he revealed that. So that was manifesting in this relationship. So every time I felt challenged, or then I had to prove to myself, no, I'm a man. And it was just because I didn't know who I was. You know, so that's why I said yesterday, you know, when you know who you are, then everything changes. But you can't know who you are until he tells you. I used to go out walking at night after these conversations and stuff. And I'd go out and I would just walk for hours and hours and hours. And I would just say, who am I, Father? Who am I? And I'd be screaming, who am I? And he'd just say, "You're my son. You're my son. I love you. You're my son. I am pleased with you. You're my son. I am with you. I will not forsake you." And it was just, so that was a really, really deep, deep, deep wound that happened. That was past the level of this happened, I forgive this person. Forgiveness is canceling seed. Confession is canceling seed. If you want to shorten the harvest, if you want to reduce, if you want to speed up the time, and if you, in a spiritual way, if you want to, because God will not be mocked. A man will not reap what he has not sown. So that means that we're going to sow what we've reaped, whether we reaped it in knowledge or in ignorance, whether it was intentional or unintentional. So the only way to shorten the harvest is through confession. Because if we own it and we give it to him, then he'll say, "Okay, I'll cover you now." But if we're like, "No, I got this," then he's like, "Okay, you got it. Have fun." So confession and forgiveness is canceling that, so that harvest time can be accelerated or shrunk. Or doesn't mean that we get out. It's not a get out of jail free card. It doesn't mean that that's it. We don't have, you know, and depending on what that it looks like, there could be a lot. Yeah. But we got to stand strong and just let him, you know, trust. So I had forgiven this individual that this happened. And when you, when it happens to somebody who's in a trusting position and an authority position in your life, it's very, very devastating. So I had forgiven him and everything. And, you know, but I didn't realize how deep that lie had been embedded. So then the father of lies will use that lie, because he's the father of lies, and he plants it, and he'll use it to remind you. See? So that's where I was like, "No, you're not my real father." Hearing that stuff, there would be things between us. Things that I said over the years, things she said, that would come up. Remember this. The enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, your own screwed up head, yep, whatever your philosophy is. Remember this. He's not a creator. He can't create anything. All he can do is counterfeit, pervert, distort. That's all he can do. He was not given, he was not created in the image of the Father. You and I were created in the image of God. He spoke, he created. He gave us, he made us in his image. So all the enemy could do is pervert that, distort it, counterfeit it. All he could do is remind us and tell us lies and get us to come into agreement with his lie. So we have to learn what voice is the voice of our true father. And he's sitting there waiting. So, anyway. You know, there's so much freedom in it. I can't even describe, like, the bondage of living in fear.
Yep.
and the bondage and the torment of trying to figure out how to respond, what to do. I, for the first time in my life, I understand what Christ meant by my way is easy, my burden is light. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. I make mistakes all the time. But when I do now, I just go, okay, Father, I'm sorry. Please, I know you're working on me on that, or she brings something to my attention. And give it to him. It's a trip, man. It's such a trip. It's crazy, awesome stuff. So maybe through the weekend I'll be able to share more and just stuff, other things will pop up. And if it's helping, then good. And if it's just too totally boring and terrible, then she'll tell me. No.
Okay, or you'll,
he's got something, I guess.
Okay, and I want to kind of touch on something, because some of you women have been in the same situation that I've been in, where your husband is passive-aggressive, and there's nothing you can say that helps him to believe in himself. There's nothing you can say that helps him to know that you love him. There's nothing you can say, or at least you feel that way, that you can shower with encouragement, but it's not received. You can do your best to keep your mouth shut. I came to a point where I became a doormat and had no opinion, and I could share no feelings. He said that yesterday, that he created a prison for me. And that happened over time. It really did. And I will do anything to keep the peace and harmony in a home. The people pleaser is right here. And so I would do anything to shield the kids from any, from them feeling bad about dad not spending time, or that he's working so much, or whatever. Like my wounds were that, the place that I acted out of my wounds was trying to make sure nobody got hurt. My life was controlled by that, trying to make sure, and it didn't matter so much that I was getting hurt, but I wanted to make sure that the employees weren't getting hurt. Do you understand? The kids weren't getting their feelings hurt. You know, the last thing I wanted was anybody to have to go to counseling, which is so funny because everyone needs it. everybody needs it. And so I found myself in a place where I was then trying to control my circumstances and trying to control everybody's reactions and trying to make sure that everybody was happy all the time. And that's a prison. That's an absolute prison. And when you come to a place where you feel like you can't give your opinion because it's shut down immediately, and you can't have any feelings because you're told whatever you're told. And again, it was literally, and I had no idea he struggled with fear. I had no clue. None. And the day that he told me was crazy. When he told me the transformation that happened, he started to tell it yesterday on stage about when God came and held his hands, and that's when he was delivered from fear. I just wept. I just wept because, again, a man who's controlled by fear will try to show himself to be strong. And so, and then when you have a wife I feel like a picture's been painted of me being strong constantly. You're the only one that can tell the truth about that. No matter how gentle I would be, no matter how quiet I would be, no matter... So anyway, I want to tell you that I fought in prayer. And I have fought in prayer for years. That has definitely been my greatest weapon. Otherwise, for me personally, this would have been over a long time ago. And God absolutely was my saving grace. And the outlashes, the verbal attacks, the attacks to my character, even, that when he says you have to know who you are, you have to know who you are. Because man can say whatever he can say, man, including your husband or your children even, that can attack your character because of whatever the perception is at the moment. And again, we're all working out of our wounds. We all have them. They're all stuff back there that we have not dealt with. All of us have it. And they rear their ugly head. And it was so funny. Natan yesterday, when he said this, both Hans and I looked at each other and went, wow. And here's why. He said, okay, so when you're prosperous and everything is great, you know, how was your life? And most of you said it was great, and that's where the biggest wars happened for us. That's not where our life was great. We actually do great in crisis. We actually do better in coming together when something was hard, or that when we had less, we were better. When we had less money, when we had less to manage, we actually had an easier time. And so our biggest times when there was too much wealth, prosperity, too much going on is when it was hard. And why? Pressure on him. And I used to say to him all the time, honey, how much money do we actually need to make? Like, we don't need more wealth. We don't need more anything. Why is this always about growth? Like, we don't need this. And I used to tell him, like, I promise you, you could step away from that business and it'll run without you. No, I have to, 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 I have to. And fear, again, will control by the have-tos. And he doesn't live his life anymore by have-tos anymore. And does the business run without you? Completely. He stepped away in a moment and the business grew. From one day, no joke, for not realizing that he was being controlled by it, he stepped away from it and it grew. So that's what fear does. Fear will convince you and put pressure on you and force you to control. And that control squeezes and actually has less come out. Not more, but squeezes the life out of everything versus giving opportunity for life to flourish in a healthy environment. And so I don't know, there's some of you are the same, that you actually, when things are great and prosperous, that's where your time of bad is. How many of you, that is your time of bad? You are so welcome. Seriously, when Nathan said that, I'm walking to everyone, I was like, I looked at Hans, I'm like, dude. And we both just like, dude, no, our time is actually when things are good. Like when, you know, there's tons of prosperity around, that's where we are, like, that's not when it's good for us. So isn't that crazy? Why is that? Fear of loss, maybe? I don't know if what it is for you, you ask God. You ask God. And so, and this is what's so beautiful about everything that Hans is sharing, because when you go through those things, you're either going to control more, which he did the very best that he could try to control everything. And then here I am trying to control with peace, trying to make everyone peaceful, make sure everyone's happy, make sure everything's going okay, caring so much about everyone's feelings and how everyone is going to be affected by all the stress and all the pressure and all the pain. That was creating more problems for everybody. Do you know what I mean? My reaction to the control was not the right reaction. And most of the time I will tell you that, and with the seasons of bliss, those were the times where it was just like, let go and pray, let go and pray, let go and pray, let go and pray, and quit trying to change the circumstances. And so God had to deal with me with my unhealthy form of doing whatever it took to have peace. I approached that in an unhealthy way. And my unhealthy way was having no voice and having no feelings and literally trying everything I could to change everything that I was. Cursing myself, like every part of who God made me to be, and trying to just do and be something that I clearly was not. And that was a horrible, horrible place to live, and it was a prison for me personally. So, wow. Yes. That's the other side of this coin.
The Lord said four words to you that you gave to every man in the room yesterday. Stop eating her fruit. Yep. And just envisioned Eve with her hand open, handing fruit to her husband with every good intention. We're told in Timothy, she didn't know. It was in total innocence. Passage in the Pentateuch where it's told that a daughter's vow can be revoked because she doesn't know. And Adam, all of creation, every part of the entire created being was observing as he reached his hand out. And he knew.
He understood what was going to happen when he took it from her. And so the admonition to me, to us as men, to know who we are so that when she hands something to us, and you just said it, we have to know the voice of the Father and the deception of the deceiver. Yeah. Whose fruit is this? Yeah. And the need to be able to hear him. Chad, thank you for your encouragement to me to walk every day with the Father. Yeah. And to be able to discern, to hear. Because it's on me, it's not on her. Right. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Huge. And I want to say this about the women. I don't think there's anything in our hearts that want to be the deceiver. There's nothing in our hearts that want to do something bad to our husbands. That I know, man. When he said that, when Hans said that yesterday about the fruit, you know, and that he's sowing seed into this garden, and this garden is producing fruit, and I'm giving him the fruit that the seed that came from him was putting in the garden, and it's not the fruit that I want to be handing. Do you know what I mean? So, and that is massive. That is massive. So then it's the two of us doing things that neither one of us want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? And then you feel so ashamed and guilty and bad and don't know how to fix it. And I can tell you, ladies from and men, I want to tell you this too. When Hans came to me with confessing his fear, when he came to me showing me that telling me that God had shown in my heart, I had felt like I had been released. And then he took the step to do something so powerful, which has caused this trust and this respect to happen. And it was that he confessed and asked for forgiveness for every word he spoke to me, every curse that he had spoken, every accusation that he made. He owned every single one of them and said, please forgive me. I cursed you as a mother. I didn't appreciate who you were to our children. Please forgive me that I did not celebrate who you are as a woman, but that I belittled who you were as a woman. This went on for like over an hour of just straight confession and asking me to forgive him. We're talking 20 years of stuff that is even stuff I had not thought about in a super long time that I had forgiven him for. Do you understand? Meaning when I teach forgiveness at First Steps, I freaking live that stuff. I live that stuff. And so it's a quick thing. It's like, okay, I just heard that. I'm going into my closet. Okay, Father, I forgive him. I release him. I bless him. So I know that I probably would have committed suicide. Do you understand? If I didn't have the power of forgiveness inside of my hands and in my heart, I would have committed suicide. There's no question, especially with the wounds of my past of being verbally abused. Do you understand? Like the childhood that I had and cross words, especially from Hans, because I trusted him so much. And when he came to that very hard place in his life where everything was being pressed on him, the more success he had, the more pressure he felt, the more fear that he felt and did not know that that's what was going on. When he spoke those words and he affirmed me, it was so healing. It was so powerful. So I encourage you men, I don't know if there's a fear of her, you thinking that she somehow is going to have power over you if you confess those things to her, that somehow it makes you weaker for you to it doesn't. For me, it brought me to a high level of trust in him, and it erased the distrust, it erased the fear that I had now of my husband, because I did fear my husband in an unhealthy way. And it got rid of it completely by simply the confession of his mouth to me, because it bore compassion. I knew it. How many of you know what it feels like to be afraid? Right? So when you hear that come from your husband, man, broke me. absolutely broke me and caused me to have more compassion and understanding and trust and trust and to encourage, like, we got this. I believe in you. I believe in you. So, and that we've been through so much more in the past. There's so much crap that we've worked through, so much. So anyway, I want to encourage you men that it actually shows your wife that you're strong. It actually is what builds trust between you and your bride. And now Hans was one that very rarely ever confessed anything, showed any transparency, or confessed anything. He's just got to be strong. And I'm the man. And this is how it's going. Like, all right, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. I'm not kidding you. And I would say that to him. Like, dude, I feel like you're a dictator to me.
Oh, he used to drive me nuts when
seriously,
he used to say
that. Like.
Sir, yes,
yes,
sir.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Like,
what are you talking about?
It was horrible. It was so horrible. It was so scary.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Not at all. And I knew that wasn't his heart. And that wasn't the man that I married. Do you understand? So, I mean, we went years without that guy showing up. But all of a sudden, that guy showed up. And I'm like, who the F are you? Like, I don't know who this guy is. Because this is, I married a gentleman. I did. I married a gentleman. But the more success that we had, that gentleness was leaving. And the more pressure is what was in our house. And that pressure about destroyed us. About destroyed the entire family. So, but that gentleman is back. He's strong where he needs to be strong. He's gentle where he needs to be gentle. And he knows where that is. And it's the most beautiful thing that I've experienced. And so, yeah. So I want to encourage you guys that just be vulnerable before her and ask her for forgiveness for all of it, every word. I mean, I couldn't believe. And then he blessed me. Then he blessed me. And every single place where he had sown seed, which he had not told me that story yet, every place that he'd sown seed, he then canceled that seed with confession and asking me to forgive him. I wept for a solid hour. By the way, that happened at a Dynasty, November, 4 years ago. Yep. Some of you were there when Hans came walking in. That happened the night before the event started. That happened actually in the middle of the night. They had come to me, and for an hour, we just wept together and through that whole confession process. And then he confessed, he asked for forgiveness, and then planted new seed. And just, I bless you as a mother. I bless your womanhood. I bless your beauty. You can talk about what those things are because that's so powerful.
Keep going. That's exactly, yeah, that is what happened. I think we don't want to do it sometimes because our mind is thinking, like you said, we're either going to be weak or maybe we don't agree. Nah, that's not what really happened. But if we're really honest, we have to own it. Like we have to own what I asked him to show me what it is. And then there's a place where you can't own what you don't have. Like, I can't own her stuff. She can't own mine. But I have to own my stuff. And, I think that time then and then either other times of just blessing who you are as a woman, you know, the image of the Creator that you represent. His strength, there's a strength in a woman that is amazing, a tenacity, right? The beauty, the emotion, the strength that is in the emotional capacity of a woman, and just the way that you carry and represent his image is amazing. And he helped me to see that. Instead of it being like this woman, you know, like the whole Adam situation, it's that woman you gave me. He helped to realign and help exactly what Rabbi was talking about yesterday, that no, this is actually you, Father. in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what deals with the honor part. Honor the Creator, honor His creation. And He started to just realign my thinking so that it was the gift. And to just, I don't know, I remember
sharing that with you. It was the first time I ever felt like I was a gift to Him. It was the first time I had felt like a burden in His life, which is why I told you that I said so many times, like, your life would be better without me. The kids' lives would be better without me. Because that this environment, I felt like I was the burden, that I was too hard for Him or too much or whatever. And so that night, I feel like the words would be very healing for you to just say what the words are. It would be very healing.
The words that I said then?
Yes, and there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. God gave you those words. And those words affirmed the womanhood. Mm-hmm. And that needs to happen in this room.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, Danny, you are a beautifully created daughter of the King of the universe and a daughter of the Most High, of the Creator. And He just loves you. You were created in His image. And I just bless that. I bless your womanhood. I bless your beauty. I bless your strength as a woman. I bless the power that He put in you, the emotional capacity, who you are as a mother to our children and as a wife to me. I bless the words that come out of your mouth, your gift of words and your gift of your insight. And I just bless that. Bless your feistiness. I think I said that, right? That feistiness that you have is a representation of Him. And you are a representation of a warrior spirit, also His warrior spirit. Trying to remember what else was. Help me remember, because it was an emotional thing when that happened. So, yeah.
How many of you never heard your fathers bless your mother? Look. That's what I'm saying. So how do you know how to bless your wife? You don't. And how many women did not hear your mothers bless your father? We don't have the words. We've not been trained to understand how to give a blessing. Last night, remember I told you that last night on Shabbat that the Jewish men blessed their wives with Proverbs 31. Do you have your phone? Let's do it. My husband last night, right before we went to bed, he read from three different versions Proverbs 31 over me. I just wept. There's something so powerful. You see, the Bible is filled with places where a blessing is passed on. They understood the power of a blessing and giving a blessing. We live our lives in this thing called marriage without ever blessing each other. We live this life called marriage with entitlement and not thanksgiving. The entitlement of, okay, I keep the house spotless and not thanked for it. And He provides the home and not thanked for it. Do you understand? Not respected or thanked each other for any of it. It's just, this is what we do. We just assume that that's just the way it's supposed to be. There's no blessing in it. And I was telling Hans yesterday, I said, so many times us wives feel that our life-changing diapers, breastfeeding with bleeding nipples, swollen crap, freaking stretch marks, and bodies that are completely distorted after we have our first child, not to mention second, third, fourth, and fifth, a body that we once had that attracted you that now is gone forever, and now we get to deal with it being broken up for the rest of our lives and getting worse every freaking day for the rest of our lives. We live this life of dealing with our kids and never feeling accomplished in anything. Thankless. Do our kids thank us? No. Does your son thank you for changing his diaper when he's a year old in the middle of the night? Or do we get thanked for the breastfeeding? Do we get thanked for the cooking? Do we get thanked for any of it? Oh, yeah, no, I say thank you. No, you don't understand. Hey, yeah, thanks. It took me 6 freaking hours to make that meal. 6 freaking hours. It's gone in 15 freaking minutes. And then it takes me a freaking hour to clean up the freaking mess. And it's thanks for dinner? That's the first and only thank you for the whole day, for the entire 24 hours of all of the labor, the emotional labor, the pain of the labor, the constant causing problems with the children. We feel taken advantage of. We feel like we are a slave. How many of you felt this way? Okay, look around the room, men. I have literally said this to my kids. I'm not your slave. And every time you leave dishes in the sink, I feel like I'm your slave. This is dishonoring to me. And why? Because there's no blessing in the house. There's no blessing in the house. There's no honor in the house. And why? Listen, we've all said, and when I wrote Grooming the Next Gen, that this is an entitled generation. Guess where the entitled generation came from? The entitled parents. You trained your kids to be entitled. They didn't just pick that up out of the sky, but the kids were trained to be entitled by the entitled parents. That what? Don't bless each other. That again, we just are entitled. That I'm entitled, that he's going to provide, he's going to protect. Do I thank him for protecting me? No. But instead, I curse that he wants to control me. Right? So do I thank him for providing the house? No. It's assumed. And most women complain about their house. And most women complain about the provision, that there's not enough. We don't make enough money. There's not, oh, I so wish we could go on a vacation, but we can't afford it. Oh, my girlfriend got a new Fendi bag, but we can't afford it. Oh, I would really love to be able to shopping all the time, but we can't afford it. I'd love to get a new phone, but we can't afford it. Constantly reminding their husbands of what he cannot afford. And he's busting his balls every freaking day. And in fear most of the time of losing the source of income. I'm going to ask the question right now, and let me see if you can be vulnerable. How many of you are men are afraid? Look, ladies. And you're putting pressure on your man for more. More. He's worked his balls off for the amount he's already given you, and you are still not freaking satisfied. Will you ever be satisfied is the question in his head. So then he has to, and then you wonder why he won't give you more children? Open your freaking eyes. You're the biggest mouth he has to feed. You are. You're the biggest freaking mouth he has to feed with all your jewelry, with all your clothes, with all your shoes, with all your pampering, with you got to get your freaking nails done. You got to get
all your shit.
Did you say all your shit? And do we thank him? Do we thank him, or do we just complain that we don't have what our girlfriend has? How much makeup do we have? How many curling irons do we have? More, 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 which is adding more, more, more pressure on him. And we're still not. Oh, I almost let that out of my mouth. I almost let that out of my mouth, and now is not the time. Later, privately, will be. And we're still not giving him what he needs. We're still withholding the passion and the sexiness and the enticement. No matter how much he's blessed us and busted his balls, we then are too tired to give it up. We're too tired to present ourselves in a way that seduces him into our garden. Last night, man, that's what I said. Come to my garden. I ran a bath and I said, honey, come into my garden. Come into my garden.
You keep a nice garden.
Come.
come into my garden. So you see what I'm saying? There's so much entitlement in marriage. There's so much entitlement in our culture, and it really ticks me off that we have disconnected ourselves from our Jewish roots, because that's not how the Hebrew way is. That's not how it is. The Hebrews bless their women. They bless their women. They work together in this marriage. It isn't you do dishes and I do work. We need more conversation about this another time. But the bottom line is that whatever work that each partner is going to bring into the relationship, there has to be a blessing for it. There has to be thankfulness for it. Because when there isn't, guess what? It is greed and gluttony. More, 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 more. Just like the kids who are entitled, that use you as an ATM machine, that take everything for granted, that don't have any honor or understanding of the blessing. So blessing your spouse is hugely important. And what have you not thanked your spouse for? What have you not thanked them for? What have we just assumed, right? Changing diapers. Hans did a lot of changing of diapers. Hans would help me with getting up in the middle of the night during those months of the midnight feedings with the kids. He also really blessed me with the morning where he would let me sleep every day. Every day. He got up every morning with the kids and took them to school so I could sleep. And this was even after all the midnight feedings. I mean, it was a habit that started that when I gave birth and I'm nursing in the middle of the night, he would change the diaper in the middle of the night while I'm switching sides. He would then get up in the morning and deal with the toddlers, making them breakfast so I would get sleep. I didn't thank him enough for that. I clearly didn't thank him enough for that. What have you not thanked your husband for? What have you not thanked your wife for? I'm not kidding you. There's a blessing in thanksgiving. There's a blessing in thanksgiving. And thanksgiving changes your entire perspective, and it opens the door for honor and respect and trust. But we are a people who are forever gluttonous and greedy for more, more, more of everything and constant complaining about what we don't have. But it takes us to a place where we have to lose everything before we realize we had it all already. We had it all already. Okay, who does the laundry in the house? How many of you women do the laundry? Men, have you thanked your wives for washing your frickin' filthy underwear? Have you thanked her? Have you thanked her? How often does she do the laundry? How often should you thank her? My husband thanks me every single time that his clothes are cleaned. He thanks me every single time. Prior to 4 years ago? Nope. Nope. Took us being separated. He came back in the house and he had to do his own laundry for 60 days. He came home. He was like.
Actually, what it was him. It was. I grew up poor. Yeah. I grew up doing my own laundry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in my mind.
So good.
I don't need you to do this for me.
Yeah.
I don't need you to do anything for me.
He said that to me constantly.
So that's what I lived under,
yeah.
Which triggered and, you know, you don't appreciate, da-da-da-da, which then the response was, no matter how much what I say, whatever. I mean, you get into this loop, you know, she described it earlier. What changed 4 years ago was the stuff that I was sharing yesterday, and that was the reason. And the thankfulness and the gratitude and it goes back to what I was saying yesterday. Do the right thing, no matter what.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that I can do my own laundry. She's doing it
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter So that he dealt with me. He dealt with me on some, you know, heart issues that manifested in to her as appreciation and encouragement.
Big time.
But it was deeper issues of, and it was a blessing, right?
Totally.
Came out as a blessing now instead of this. And you know what's crazy about it? It doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like, oh, if I don't say this, then she's going to do this. And boy, I better make sure I thank her, and I better make sure I do this, and da-da-da-da. So that burden of all of that got totally broken off and dealt with, because now it's a blessing to bless and a blessing to say thank you. So that's the change that happened, not just, hey, I'm not appreciating my wife, and, you know, sitting in some counseling session, dude, you better fucking start saying shit, because so that was the change. It's totally at a different level and a different layer than, oh, I'm not being thankful or not showing gratitude or just disregarding or not appreciating it. Yep. It was a completely different thing.
It was massive. And to confirm everything he just said, I remember the first time him saying, man, honey, thank you for doing my laundry. It was so sincere because there was such a heart change. Do you know what I mean? It was like, so I felt it inside of me, and it was exactly what you said. It blessed me. And same with every night for dinner. Like, yeah, thank you for dinner happened forever, but this was like, dude, thank you so much for dinner. Like, you're welcome. It's my privilege to do that for you. You know what I mean? So that again, those are heart issues. Do you understand that? That's as from his heart and from mine, that brought healing to us, that now there was true blessing that has been happening between the two of us versus knowing the right thing to do and doing it most of the time. Okay, again, I don't want us to paint this picture that our marriage was a mess all the time. It wasn't. We had seasons of bliss separated by hurricanes, tsunamis, twisters, okay, earthquakes, sometimes all on the same day. All right, so, and also bad day. No, not bad day, bad moments. Bad moments. It wasn't like a whole bad, disastrous day. No, but that's the way we perceived it. When we started to track it, it proved to us like, no, that was like an hour that was bad. That wasn't 24 hours that were bad. It wasn't a month that was bad. It was an hour that was bad. And we have a tendency of, you know, especially some of our personalities, like, it's always bad. All the time. Everything is always like this. You never... That's just straight up lies. It's just literally straight up lies. So anyway, thank you for saying all that. The blessing, would you do that? Because I think that would be just so massive.
You want me to do the blessing, honey?
Well, I think that example is really...
You need to sit down there.
I will sit down. Let me do this.
Take them damn things off. No. I'm just kidding. I love those shoes. They're awesome. You can put them back on.
Here's an example. Again, I wish we would have had this example from day one of our marriage. I wish we would have had this example in the house I grew up in. But you may choose to use this. You may not. But it might be a tool you can use. Are you going to do it in Hebrew? Or which one are you doing?
Does it look like I'm going to do it in Hebrew? What kind of Hebrew are you talking about?
Kind of Hebrew I like.
You're talking about Sean's kind of Hebrew? Or
no? I love you. You're so awesome.
Hebrew! No. No, that's not what you told me, but that was what I thought of when you said that. So I don't know if that's, I have no insight into anything. I just, when he told me that, when he said, I was speaking Hebrew last night, I was like, damn, dude. I like, maybe I was speaking some Hebrew too. Like, that's badass. Let me do this. Bro.
That's been happening all weekend. It's time to be real.
No, man, that was just, yeah, you're safe, bro. You're safe. I don't know anything else, so, you know, unless he tells me stuff, then. No, Sean didn't tell me anything. We had a great conversation. That's confidential conversation. Not about anything specific, just... You know, the conversation started actually about Mike Tyson, and we were talking about Mike Tyson videos, and dude, man. So it was a man conversation that then evolved into... Okay. You ready, honey?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you want to hear more about Sean and my conversation?
No.
You're waiting so patiently. Such a good girl.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you. What are you doing? Yes.
Yeah. We'd be Shabbating. All right. It's Proverbs 31:10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is, what started this last night, is I was looking at her and I said, you know, I can't remember if I said it yesterday, but in Proverbs it says, a diligent wife who can find her, she is worth more than rubies and gold. And then I told her, I said, you know, you are the most diligent wife and the most diligent woman in the world. And she is. And I said that about her yesterday. This woman is like, whoa, man, right? But she's amazing. And her heart is super tender and super soft. And I couldn't see that before because I was so busy reacting to all the other stuff. I couldn't see how tender and that beauty, the beauty of the woman. The other stuff's beautiful too, but there's nothing like her tenderness and her gentleness and her softness. And her heart. And I always tell her she's got massive capacity. And it's kind of a joke because I say, Danny, I got capacity. I'm working on it, you know. And so I just love that about you. Love how he planted that in you. So a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. And lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. And then the other version, we realize, actually...
We should go to the other version. The other version is crazy.
We noticed it in
this translation.
There was an Orthodox Jewish Bible version. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the King James and then to the Amplified, and I'm reading out of NIV right now.
Which missed a bunch. Let's do that one.
Amplified?
Yeah, it missed a bunch. No, there's something in there that I've never seen before, and it's crazy.
So the heart of her husband trusts in her with secure confidence, and he will have no lack of gain. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, and works with willing hands in delight. She is like the merchant ships, abounding with treasure. She brings her household's food from far away. She rises also while it is still night, and gives food to her household, and assigns tasks to her maids. She considers a field before she buys it or accepts it, expanding her business prudently. With her prophets, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. It's all that garden keeping stuff going on here, talking about, which Solomon talked about quite a bit as well. Song of Solomon. That was the garden he was talking about. She equips herself with strength. And then in brackets, it says spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong. And last night I was like, babe, this chick was doing like P90X back then.
To be honest with you, the Jewish Orthodox Bible, which would be the close to the Hebrew translation, says she strengthens her legs and her arms. She strengthens her legs and her arms. That's 3,000 years ago that text was written. 3,000 years ago. It says she works out. It says she works out right there in the Bible. It says she strengthens her loins and her arms. Well, that's different. That's 6 hours of... That's when Hans is my gym. And he has been my gym for 26 years. Doesn't he look good?
Yeah, so she... Whoa, where'd it go? There we go. There we're not. Sorry. Totally lost it. Where was that? Okay. And makes her arms strong. She sees that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out, but it burns continually through the night. She is prepared for whatever lies ahead. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. What is a distaff? What's a distaff?
The poor people.
And her hands hold the spindle as she spins wool into thread for clothing. She opens and extends her hand to the poor. And she reaches out her filled hand to the needy. Her filled hands to the needy. She does not fear the snow for her household. She does not fear the snow for her household, for all in her household are clothed in expensive scarlet or wool. She makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is linen, pure and fine, and purple wool. Her husband is known in the city's gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly and well with the strength and character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all. Charm and grace are deceptive and superficial. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, who reverently worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with awe-filled respect, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city.
Amen. 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 Thank you. So, a blessing. What are you doing? So a blessing. Yesterday we talked a lot about our culture that is very divisive and confused. And we all have to be countercultural and draw from cultures that have much more success in marriage than we do. And obviously the Hebrews have much more success in marriage than we do. And I can just tell you from a wife's perspective, last night and the many times Hans has read that over me, has blessed me deeply and has affirmed and confirmed my who I am in my Father and who I am in this relationship. There's nothing more powerful than blessing. There really is nothing more powerful than a blessing. And it cancels the curse. Do you understand? And where we marriages are dry because there's no blessing in it. And blessing brings life. And it's prophetic, actually. It drops seed of what's to come, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? So rather than the garden being filled with curses and
weeds.
And weeds, exactly. And how do weeds even get into a garden if you think about it?
Neglect.
It's neglect. And it is proven that humans need to be blessed. Humans need to be affirmed. They need to be encouraged. If we don't do that, then we have discouragement, depression. Do you understand? No vision and death. And so and it's hard for the woman, and it's no excuse, but it's much more work for the woman to give back when nothing is being given to. Does that make sense? So we are all in control. It doesn't mean that she can't, because she can, and I have, and we both have, even in our dry seasons. Again, I don't want to paint this picture that our whole 26 years have been terrible. It's not true. We've always had an incredible passion. Our sex life has absolutely kept us together. No question. Our passionate love for each other. We have a deep, passionate love for each other. We just didn't we weren't fully healed. We weren't fully healed of our wounds, and our wounds came against each other. And so that's why it's so important. That's why we keep pressing you on this thing of healing and forgiveness, confession, and plant new seed. Right? Confession, forgiveness, plant new seed, plant new seed, plant new seed. It's important to do that. So anyway, I love you and you're amazing and thank you. Okay. I do pray a blessing over him.
We pray over each other.
It took us a long time to get there. I used to be the wife that used to cry and be upset that my husband didn't pray with me. That's the wrong way to do it. It is. It's wrong. It's complaining. And complaining produces weeds, produces a curse. Complaining is manipulation, by the way. Incessant complaining is manipulation. And it will never bring life out of your husband, ever. It won't bring life out of him. But encouragement will. And so there was a time where he just didn't. And why? Who knows why? But he was put under pressure because of all this religious pressure of you need to pray over your wives. And he just didn't have a desire to do that, or was, I don't know why you didn't. I don't want to speak for you. Or couldn't or wouldn't or whatever.
A lot of it was pressure and expectation and the religious. My picture in my mind of what I thought she needed from me.
We should be over here.
Here, sit down. What I thought she needed from me to fill that need, I felt like I couldn't fill that. And I had a picture in my mind based off of religious definition. And I was just like giving it a big middle finger, basically.
Yep.
A big F you.
Yep.
You know, if I'm not good enough the way I am, then, you know. And my style is very personal for me.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's not a lot of words. And so he had to deal with me on that and that identity and knowing that that blessing is there. And he had to heal me of that. And it doesn't matter what I think it's supposed to be. Yeah. It doesn't matter what another fancy, well-spoken person, you know, says. It doesn't matter what expectation there is. I'm his son.
That's right.
So when that gets dealt with, everything changes. Everything changes. And now I know the place that I am in him and then us together. And there's a special place for that. So it just gets back into all of that stuff that goes on in the mind where, you know, is just responding and kind of fear and just, I'm not saying that there's not sometimes struggles that pop up, you know, because that stuff can, you know, get in, or I'm acting a certain way or she's acting a certain way or whatever, but it always just is going back to the core. And, you know, when I pray for her, it's the way I pray for her.
It's awesome.
So it exactly doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to fit some idea of something else, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So, and honestly, there was at one point, because we would hear people say, you know, that you should pray over your wives or whatever. And I remember telling Hans, I go, you don't need to feel like you have to do what they say. You don't. Like, we went to this one conference up in Sonora all those years ago, and we walked out, and I said, I don't need anything that they said.
Conference.
It was disgusting. I said, I don't need anything that they said that you should do. I don't need any of
it. It was the most emasculating. Every marriage / whatever that I've ever experienced through any kind of church is the most emasculating, ephemerate, feminist thing in the world. There's no blessing on manhood. Yeah. There's no blessing on the woman. It is just, you know, that's my experience. I know there's good experiences out there. But so then that created some wounds in me, actually, us.
Yep.
And we would never, that's why, like, coming to something like this, you guys are so brave for being here. And so it's so amazing. No, I'm serious. For, like, making that investment, it's huge.
Seriously.
Man. You guys are freaking awesome people. You know, and the guys, I mean, no guy wants to go to some event that's, like, willingly wants to go to some kind of relationship thing, you know, because that's just like, damn, man, guys don't do that kind of thing until it's bad. It's got to be really bad, like, you know, it's got to be bad. Or it's got to be really, really, really good, so then you feel like, ah, it's cool, I'm on my game, you know, whatever. But if it's anywhere in between, like, really, really good and the end of the world, like, no guy wants to be in a room like this right now, typically, you know. So I just, you know, I didn't. And because I just felt, all I felt was condemnation, you know.
Yep.
And you get somebody and some guy comes up and he says something, like me sharing my story yesterday. My prayer was that it would empower you men, you know, and that I was speaking like it's, this is the answer. This is the key, you know? And the tough part is like, if you're sitting there and then, you know, the whole time, I remember sitting in stuff and sitting there and all I could feel was every once in a while. You know, whether it was happening or not, Danny, like, looking at me, you know, like, is he paying attention, you know? And so I think whether that, and that might not have been happening.
No,
I think sometimes
I even
it
told
was.
You. I told well, you, like, there is nothing they said that you need to do
afterwards. But I think that's normal, right? Like,
right.
Like, you know, for guys. Like, we just feel that
pressure.
You know, yeah, pressure, you know, and the woman is the responsive, in, you know, even today you see that on social media, like women are just like, whoa! Guys are like, you know, and so, like, so it's kind of like, come on, guy, let's go to this thing together, you know, blah, 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 you know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, you know, how many guys are like, you know, honey, let's go to this thing, okay, you know, and so it's just, we get caught in that, I'll speak for myself, for me, I have such, my wife is so beautiful and productive, that's his gift in her, also gift to me, but that made me feel a lot of pressure, like, bruh, slow down, I cannot go that fast, you know, like, freaking, you know, cool your jets, you know, like, you know, so, and we're supposed to be the initiator, we're supposed to be leading, all this kind of stuff, and so it just was like, okay, like, I gotta always have an answer, I gotta always be thinking five steps ahead, you know, and so it can become, it can wear, like for me, it can wear me out. But now it's cool because we understand each other. And I know that I don't have to live under that. And sometimes I just tell her, bro, chill. And, you know, or like when she's asking me too many questions, I'll tell her she's past her quota, you know.
It does.
So,
he totally does. So, he absolutely
so,
does.
So now he's given me things how to handle it. So that it's funny and fun,
yes.
And not a condemnation and stuff, and not pressure for me, which is just awesome. And he's the only one that could have given me that. But anyway, guys, man, you guys that are here are freaking amazing. And you women are awesome, but you women are always awesome. You know, I mean, for real. So you got the women are like on it. You know, and the guys like I try to tell her all the time, like, baby, I'm slow. You got to understand, you know. And she's like, no, you're not. You're super smart. You got 7 brains. And I'm like, no, you got to understand. I'm slow, especially in the morning. Takes my brain a little while to thaw out, you know. So, so for me, and I'll just say it generically.
I know how to wake you up.
That's true. Okay. That was a good one. That was a nice little, that was a good one there. All right. Yeah, what was I talking about? But anyway, oh boy. Woo!
I know exactly how to wake you up. And it's not with talking. It's special talking.
Special talking, that's right. So we say that sometimes. Babe, do you need some special talking time? So guys that are here, you know, you guys are freaking awesome. You're amazing. And, you know, but and if anything, yeah, totally. And the women too. But my prayer from yesterday, I hope that what I was talking about yesterday, I hope you were empowered by that and strengthened by that. And you know what? And it sucks because I remember being at these things, going back to what you're talking about, and just feeling the whole time like I was like freaking just for 3 days straight just, you know, I just felt emasculated, totally, totally emasculated. And I came out with this big list of stuff I got to do now, and I know no matter how hard I do, even if I do perfect at it, something's going to be missing, right? And I'm going to fall, you know, short, whatever. And so I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to, you know, go to that. And so, but the message, the core message of yesterday and for me and what changed in me was it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like even if I'm sitting there and 1,000% of the time, which this isn't the case, but if I'm feeling like my wife, like every time something is said, she's like, well, baby, what you can do about that? You know, like even if that was happening, it doesn't matter. Do the right thing. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Know who you are, right? And do the right thing. Don't worry about that response, because if you get locked in with him, with your true father, and you let him lead you, and you do the right thing, and you're gentle,
yes.
Right? and you sow blessing and not, you know, cursing, if you do the right thing, he will honor it. And so any of that stuff that's going on, you know, that will run its course. That whole garden will run its course. And as long as you stop sowing new seed into it, you're not going to produce a new garden that is that. You know, so my prayer yesterday is that the guys in here would like, because it's us. Like, we're the ones that have to. It doesn't mean they don't have a responsibility. It doesn't mean anything like that. But it's just, you know, and so and the thing about that is the message in that is it's freedom.
Yes.
It's free to know that I don't have to expect her to be somebody that she's anything different than she is today. You know, I don't have to, well, honey, how come this isn't da-da-da, and you did this, and I need to do that, and if we do this again, no.
Yep.
I can't control her. Yep. I have no control over that, and she can't control me.
Yep.
You know, so, but, and I can't control me. At all. Yeah. But if I surrender every day my heart to my Father, and say, here's my heart, God. Here's my heart, Father. Mold it, shape it. You know, because my heart is what's driving my emotions. And if something's said, and then I think, well, that just meant this, and then now it's firing up all this junk and all this garbage, you know. So anyway, but yeah, those things were terrible. Ugh, the one that you started talking about.
Totally.
They were just like the yeah. most brutal. Now, if I was a really good guy, you know, securing myself or whatever, I would sit there, yeah, baby, let's go. Boom, 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 you know.
No.
And hallelujah, praise the Lord, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and just.
That's not the guy I want to be married to.
That's not me, man. Hell no.
I'm married to a warrior. I'm not married to a wimp. And I don't want to be married to a wimp.
Well, not to say that that's, if that's who you are, that's who you are. So that's not, you know,
but
that's not me.
That's not who I married. And I literally listened to everything that was from that stage. And it was like, they are full-on wimpifying the men. There's no place for a strong man in this messaging at all. And that's why I said, you don't have to listen to anything that, I don't want you to be anything of what they said for you to be.
We got in a big fight after that thing. We had like our whole, that we went through, that was a, remember we were in Hawaii? Yeah, it was soon after that.
Oh,
or maybe that was right after. Yeah, we were going through some stuff then. It was hard.
Always.
Yeah.
I had something.
And the conference made it worse. The conference made it worse.
Well, and especially because you were intimidated and threatened by everything that came out of that. And that's why I'm like, honey, you don't have to be, I don't have an expectation of you being anything of what they said.
Yeah, you did.
Like, nothing. Yeah. Like, please don't try to be what they said, because that's not the man I married. That's not what I want our marriage to be.
Yeah, you did say that. Yeah. Absolutely.
So don't feel like you got to do this, because that would suck for me.
But that didn't matter. I still felt like a total failure. I felt like I wasn't reaching the mark. I felt like I wasn't living up to it. All I had was this big scorecard that, and I fail. So it didn't matter what she said, because that program was in here, and that program was so deeply embedded. Didn't matter what she said.
Yep. Literally, I felt like for a solid month after that, that I was just like pouring on more encouragement, and just trying to re-edify him back, because that thing was so emasculating. So on that note, I feel it's important for us to address this. Whatever you hear from here in the stage, you guys have to find for yourself. Do you understand? And only God can help you find that. And if you... Please don't entertain the thought that, well, I'm not good at hearing from him. Yes, you actually are. Start believing that you are and that you can. Do you understand? Start believing that, and you'll be amazed of what will penetrate your heart. But don't, if we're giving like strategy or tips, or you're hearing ideas or whatever, don't be like, okay, well, I can't do that, or that's adding more pressure to me. Well, I want you to look for what's going to relieve the two of you of pressure. Pressure does not produce a better marriage. It just doesn't. It makes things worse. So whatever it is that you can do to help to relieve each other and be for each other, do you understand? Ladies, if you're hearing me say something, this is why I said like the whole pray for me, you know, do you pray for your husband? I know that you heard that from some other place. You definitely have not heard it from me. I have never talked about that my husband prays for me. Does he pray for me every night? He might. Whether or not I hear it, I don't know. And guess what? It doesn't freaking matter. Somebody else gave us that picture and some ladder for a husband to climb to make him feel like he's doing his job right. Listen, what he does is his. What I do is mine. You know who I know who's praying for me night and day? My God is praying for me night and day. Period. So the last thing in the world I want to do is add pressure to my husband to perform in some religious manner that makes him feel like a failure. I don't want him under the pressure. Now, there are times where I need prayer, yeah, and I'll go to him and say, can you pray for me? I'm really wrestling with X, okay? And he will feel the Spirit of the living God tell him when to pray for me. He can see it on me. He can see that there's something not working right inside of me, and he'll come and he'll just pray for me. But there's times where I need to ask him for it. Ladies, quit expecting your husband to read your mind. Quit expecting your husband to read your mind. And husbands, it's okay to tell your wives, I can't read your mind. Please tell me what you need. And he has done that with me. Honey, I can't read your mind. Like, that's right. And why we have that expectation, I don't know. It's wrong. It's setting our spouse up for failure if we are expecting him to read our mind. And if we're waiting with this expectation that he's supposed to read our mind, we keep waiting, we keep waiting, we keep waiting, and then we explode. And the explosion is an attack at his character versus up front. I am nervous about what I'm about to walk into. Can you pray for me? Sure. And he'll pray for me. And it's awesome. And it's exactly what it is that I need from my one flesh, from my husband. I don't need the other super ventricular, woo, wow, ooh, hallelujah guy that is a great performer with prayer. I need my husband who's one flesh with me to pray for me. That's what I need. And so, and wives, you probably need to communicate that to your husbands, because if you guys go to church, especially if you go to an evangelical, super wah, wah, woo, spooky, you know, should have bought a Hyundai, but I bought a Mitsubishi church, as we have been to many years in our lives, then your husband might feel like he's under pressure to perform in some super, ooh-ah, ooh-ah, you know, prophetic, wah, ooh, I feel, whatevers, that there's some, you know what I'm saying? Listen, the church world is producing pressure. The business world is producing pressure. Our culture is producing pressure. The finances are producing pressure. Are you hearing me? Getting older is producing pressure. Work on reducing pressure. And that's where you're going to find the peace in the Spirit of the living God. Do you understand? Get rid of all of that crap off of you, including also, because some of you, how many of you grew up in religious homes? There's more pressure, right? The pressure of some of the religiosity that was passed down to us that is fruitless. You have to look at, okay, if the religion that you were a part of was fruitful.
Careful. Careful.
Keep it. If it's not fruitful, do what the Bible says. Trim it off. Cut it off and let it burn. Just because it came from religion doesn't mean it was fruitful. How you doing, Harper? Looking at my husband. Okay, do you understand? If it's fruitful, keep it. If it's fruitless, kill it. That's what the Bible says to do. Fruitful? Man, that's helpful, that's good, that's nourishing, it's producing something healthy and good and reproducing. There's a lot of religion that is fruitless and even produces death. There is. But again, we live in this culture that just blindly follows. blindly follow, not ever assessing what the actual fruit is. Does that make sense? I hope that's helpful to somebody. So look for pressure relieving instead of adding. What? Okay, what?
Oh, that's your, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, he said every tree that doesn't produce fruit is going to be thrown into the fire.
Yep.
It's his fire of his spirit burning off of us if we're seeking him.
Yep.
First and foremost, instead of lifting up our system to become our God. Because man wants a system. We want something that we can A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And that's not him. He does have his order and his structure. So we want that thing, and you're right. Yeah, we got to look at the fruit.
Yes. Yes, so let's take 5 minutes right now, and I want the two of you to, first of all, each one of you separately write down what is the biggest pressure that you have in your life right now. Separately, just write it down. You answered that question on your survey, right? When you filled out your survey, it says what's the number one stress point in your life right now. You guys were given an envelope, right?
Yep.
You were given an envelope. I don't want you to open those just yet, but we're going to have a point where you do. But I want you to write down, like, what's that biggest stress point in your life? And then write it down, and then I'll tell you what to do next. Just write that down. Mona, is there any way I can get water? I'm parched. Okay, so with that stress point that you have, it's a pressure point, right? You can't ignore the pressure points. They're pressing on you. Do you understand? How many of you tried to ignore the stress points? How well is that working for you? It doesn't work. So you have to come to a place where you have to deal with those pressure points. You can't ignore them. They will only get worse. So this is where the two of you come together and you discuss to try to understand each other. What is pressuring the husband? What is pressuring the wife? And then come to a solution. What's best for the marriage, best for each other, is not that pressure that both of you are feeling. And there could be things that each of you are doing or saying that is creating pressure for the other. And it's often expectations that are unspoken or they are spoken. Either way, they're expectations that are not realistic right now. So for example, when I would hear, you know, husbands, you're supposed to pray for your wives. That planted something in my head that now was an expectation that I did not have prior to ever hearing that. Never had it. So then that also put pressure on Hans that he's a bad husband if he doesn't pray for his wife. And then now I am swirling with that whole idea in my head that my husband doesn't love me because he doesn't pray for me. And it was some fool that planted that thing in this foolish head. Do you hear what I'm saying? So now that I have a husband that prays for me, guess what? I let go of that. I let go of that entire thing. Like, I have someone praying for me constantly, and I can pray for myself. And I'm not going to pray for myself. And again, I'm just using that as an example. There's other things in your life that people have planted in your head that have created pressure on the two of you that you now say, okay, well, this is the measuring stick. My spouse doesn't measure up unless he does X. Let me give you an example. War on debt, paying off debt. Well, my spouse doesn't agree. We don't agree on finances. And Danny says that this is how this is supposed to go. And he or she is not meeting my need because of this. Don't you let me plant something in your head that now causes a measuring stick against your spouse for you to add pressure to your spouse. That's freaking wrong. And that is manipulation. That's straight up manipulation. There will come the time where the two of you are moving together. As long as you are honoring each other and whatever it is that you feel is contentious, pray. Ask him to change you first. You first, okay? 24 years ago, soon after we got married, I wanted a divorce. And right away, I am in prayer, and I'm like, Lord, please show me how I can get a divorce, because I married out of your will. It's obvious that Hans and I are not supposed to be together. Hello, we started in sexual sin. That's how we started. We started with sex. We produced a child. I raped him and got pregnant. No, seriously, that's how it happened. Okay, I mean, he was consented, of course. It wasn't, like, against his own will. At all.
I was persuaded.
Whatever. He was persuaded. Let me show you the persuasion. He knocked on the door. I grabbed him by the shirt and I brought him in and threw him on the bed and had with him.
Hey, I gotta say something about that expectation thing.
Okay. Okay, when I'm done with the expectation thing.
Your prayer thing, yeah, go
yes.
ahead.
So if the expectation, and I went there somewhere else. So if I'm using, so here I am, I'm praying, thank you, yes, I'm telling God that I married the wrong person, I was out of his will, that I need to have a divorce, and please show me how I can do that, and I'm literally just going, I know that I did this, I got myself into this marriage, this is my fault, and this is not the man that you chose for me. So please get me out of this situation that I'm in. It's obvious to me that this is not supposed to be my husband. We are 4 years apart, okay? This is not the one I was supposed to marry. I'm supposed to marry someone that's older than me, that has his own money, that's super successful, that can lead me. Not this kid who has 20 words in his vocabulary. Okay? Who's trying to figure out business. I'm a CEO of two companies. Do you understand what I'm doing in this prayer? And I said, so you got to get me out of this situation. And I said, or you have to change him, was my word. You have to get me out of the situation, or you have to change him. And this is the words, and I heard it audibly. We're going to start with you first. We're going to start with you first. I'm like, what is there to start with? What I said. What is there to start with? I am. I am a good person. I do this. I do that. Hello? Thinking higher of myself than I ought. He doesn't even know you. I'm a CEO. I'm a. Start with you first. Okay, what? Treat him. That's what he said. All right. If you married the millionaire that you think you're supposed to be married to, how would you treat him? Shoot, man, this house would be spotless. It would be like ding on the toaster. Right? I would look hot every day when he came home. I would have a glorious gourmet meal cooked for him. He'd walk in. I would just lavish him with all kinds of love. I'd even probably rub his feet. I mean, I would massage him. I would, wow, yeah. And I'm in this other world of like, yeah, if I was married to a millionaire. And God is so beautiful because he's letting my mind just go, wow. And I'm saying all this stuff and I'm trapping myself. Oh, I would honor him. I would just speak highly of him all the time. I would just edify. I would just shower him with so much encouragement. Oh, really? No, you wouldn't. You would treat him the way you treat Hans. I wasn't even aware of the way I was treating Hans. I was blind to how I was verbally abusing my husband, how I was belittling him and emasculating him. I was completely blind to it. Why? I justified my actions because of a measuring stick that somebody planted in my head of what success looked like. This nice measuring stick that a husband that I should be married to should be this. Nothing but pressure. Nothing but pressure. Nothing but a facade. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't treat him like that. You would treat him the way you treat Hans. And then I got to see a picture about how I treated Hans. Why? Because this is how I treat this person. And then here's how I treated Hans. And then he said, treat Hans as though he is the millionaire you want to be married to. And I started to weep. I'm like, no! How do you do that? Right? How do you do that, especially in the situation that we were in? I said, please, show me what you see in Hans. Show me what you see in Hans. And he showed me Hans in front of a room of 500 people. This is the guy who sat at the sound table and talked to nobody, ever. Saw him on a stage, moving a crowd. I was like, and the view he gave me was behind Hans. So I'm behind Hans and I'm seeing Hans. I was like, what? No way. Could never have pictured this picture. And I began to weep. And I began to pray. Change me and teach me how to treat him as though he is already. This is where the birth of Prosper Where You're Planted came from. There's the same with my house. I treated my house like crap because I was tired of that house. I didn't like that house. There was no yard. I had the long list of why this house was terrible and we needed to move. And so I let myself not take care of my home. And the same thing happened. So if you were in the home that you think you should be in, how would you treat the home? Oh, it would be da 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 da. No, it wouldn't be the same trash that you are right now. Treat your home as though it is the one you want to live in, and the one you want to live in is on its way. And that's exactly how that's happened. It's the same for our cars, same for our finances, for our spouses, for our children. If we are treating as they are today, they will never go to the place that he has them on track for, at least with you in their life. And he will remove you if he has to. Because your spouse is his child. His child, first and foremost. His. And he has a plan and a purpose for their life. And you are to be the helper, both. You're part of the conduit of bringing that to pass for both of you. Not supposed to be the destroyer or the destructor of it, the inhibitor of it. But we come together to have both of it work in that direction. So the expectations that we don't speak of or that we have other people put on or that we allow, again, it's us putting on. We're looking for things to cause our spouse not to measure up financially, physically. Hello, physically. expectations for business, who they are as parents. All of these expectations create all this crazy pressure, and that pressure is never going to produce the best performance out of each other, ever. So you have to remove it. What did you were going to say about expectation, and then I have them do something.
You have what?
Go ahead.
Okay. So an expectation is a program. So it's something we've heard, and then we say, oh, okay. So here's a good one. Wives, see that you respect your husbands.
And
that's a
try.
Good program right there.
Yep.
So I was praying about that. How many want to know what he said? This is how he dealt with me on it. He said, what is a respectable man? So the program, the expectation is, you don't respect me.
Yep.
You wouldn't talk to me like that if you respected me. And he says, what is a respectable man? Maybe that's how it's really to be defined. Because genetically, she's already been wired to respect a respectable man. He already created her that way. So make a list, guys. What is a respectable man? Everything changes when we ask him to define it for us. So, game changer.
It is a game changer.
Game changer. What is a respectable man? You wouldn't talk to me like that if you respected me. Is that a respectable man? What would how would a respectable man handle it?
Wow.
Shut up.
Say that again.
Shut the fuck up.
Wow. This is massive.
How would a warrior handle that shit? In the days of old, how would it happen? Would the man lift his voice and yell? Would he lift his hand and hit? How would you treat your daughter? She doesn't respect me. I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, first of all, would a respectable man even vocalize those insecurities that way in the form of a victim? No. Father, teach me how to be a respectable man. So what's on your list? What is a respectable man? Yeah, list it. Modest, honest, honest and modest. Honoring. What's honor? Honor is a warrior word. It's not a religious word. Tell you what, there's a code of honor. There's a code of honor in that culture. There's a code. Every warrior culture has a code of honor. The samurai had a code of honor. Now, we may not agree with everything that was there, but there was a code of honor. The Vikings had a code of honor. The Israelites had a code of honor. You go back to any culture that survived throughout a period of time where there was a warrior culture, there was a code of honor. What's our code of honor today? Go out and protest and light cars on fire? Do the right thing. Right? So what else? What else is on the list? What is a respectable man? Huh? Patience. Woo. At every marriage ceremony and at every marriage conference and at every church event, they'll read 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. Love is... boom, done. We could just stop right there. And when he was working with me on that, and we had a conversation, and I said, babe, I think I could just stop right there. Love is, because what is he saying? He's saying, my love for you, son, daughter, is patient. I am patient with you. I am slow to anger. I am rich in mercy. Father, teach me how to be a man of patience. Patience communicates love. Patience communicates self-control. Patience communicates, I honor you. Patience communicates, I value you. Patience communicates, I respect you. Patience communicates, I am a respectable man.
Yes.
What else? Responsibility. There you go. That's a good one. You mean not living at home with mom and dad?
Not playing video games for
not
hours.
Not playing
and
video
hours
games
hours.
All day long? Yeah. What is responsibility? Let's define it.
Yes.
Care for, provide, initiative.
Hold on. Women. Shh.
Who's the provider?
Let the men discover their place. Ladies, and you learn from what they are saying. We have got to learn about our men instead of trying to tell them who they are supposed to be. Do you understand? That's part of the feminist movement. Do you understand? So my heart's desire is to, and how many years have I said that to you? Teach me, teach me, teach me. I want to learn from you. I want to understand you. We're not their mothers. We're their girlfriends that they married. They married their freaking girlfriend. They didn't marry their mother. They married their girlfriend. Did you stop being his girlfriend? Who stopped being the girlfriend? Go back to being the girlfriend. Am I your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As a girlfriend, we wanted to learn about him, remember? Remember? As a girlfriend, did you want to learn about him? Yes. You wanted to hear his deepest desires? You wanted to know everything there was to know about him? We got to go back to being the girlfriend. Tell us, men, please, how to understand you. Tell us, please, what does that code of honor look like?
So somebody said provision.
Yeah,
so what is provision? Well, first of all, who's the provider? How does he provide? Only through my hand? So what else? What else is a respectable man? Owning it. Ooh. Owning our crap. What does that mean? Owning our crap means what? Starts with not doing, it's that woman you gave me. She did it. That's where it starts, right there. Being able to say, this is what I'm feeling. You know, like we talk as in absolutes with all this authority and like it's fact. Case in point, if I drop this mic, what happens? Gravity, right? It's a law, right? How many of you agree it's a law? Is there any hands that didn't go in there? Okay, so you all agree it's a law? So yesterday, I talked about this yesterday, right? It's a law. Even if you don't believe in it, it still exists, right? It's still there. It's still affecting us every day of our lives, whether or not somebody ever educated and told us it was a law called gravity. Who created the law? Okay. You sure it's a law? How many planets have they discovered now? Anybody keeping up on trends in the science community? Yesterday I kind of pounded on science a little bit. Do you know that they've discovered hundreds of Earth-like planets? Do you know that every solar system, that they're discovering solar systems and different dimensions of the universe and maybe even other universes? I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of planets. And do you know that on every single one of those planets, there is a different kind of gravity? So we have to be careful about saying... So when we talk, most of what we're saying is just our opinion.
Yeah.
It's just how I feel. It's not fact.
Yeah.
So going back to what is a real man owns it. Part of owning it is knowing that, you know, I might be full of shit. I just might be. It just might not be right. ninety-nine point 9% of everything I think and say is either my opinion or a feeling.
Yeah.
It's my perception. My perception is my reality. It doesn't mean it is reality.
Yeah.
I have a perception. She has a perception. They're not always going to be the same. So owning it means, you know, this is what I'm feeling, or I think, or this is what I believe right now. Instead of, this is the way it is. This is how it looks like. which is, somebody else said it, what? Humble. Humble. Most awesome thing you said yesterday, Rabbi. When you know it's from him, it humbles us.
Yeah.
False religion is a religion that says, I got a word for you. Let me tell you what God said. Because it starts with here. He said, deal with the plank of wood, the beam in your own eye, before you worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye. Because you can't see clearly, because what you're really seeing is a big ass freaking tree sticking out of your face. That's the Hans Johnson translation. So owning it, so that, what else is a respectable man? What? Forgiving? Trustworthy? What's trustworthy? Integrity. What's integrity? In alignment with what? Thoughts, words, and actions in alignment with what? Who you are. Who are you? Huh? Someone said son of God. What's a son of God? You want to keep going? What else is a respectable man? Does a respectable man demand? Does he have to make demands?
Nope.
Sacrifice. Obedient. Cover. Confess. Yeah, right the relationship. You guys are throwing out a lot of really good words. And if we had time, I would ask you for every single one of those. What does that mean? Because 99% of the words that are in here, a word is a program. And the word is like, it's a program that has a bunch of code in it. See, I say the word honor and it means something to me, means a completely different thing to her. You got 500 people in this room with 500 different definitions. But I use the word honor, and all of you go, oh yeah, I know what that means. It's a program. We say, honor each other, respect each other. It's a program. What's behind the word? What is the code behind the word that's running your life on autopilot? So y'all mentioned a lot of really good words. Define it. Define it. Ask him to define it. What is a respectable man? Let me ask you this. Ooh. When you watch... Go ahead, what was
he
that?
He said he doesn't have all the answers.
Yeah, you're right. There you go.
Yep. And that's a respectable man. And can say that. I don't have all the answers.
Growing and learning. Yeah. One who humbles himself before the Creator.
Wow. It's powerful.
Father, I am nothing without you. You are everything, Father.
Yes.
Without you, I can't breathe.
Yes.
You are my Creator. Teach me me. Teach me her. Lead me, guide me. Mold, shape my heart. I can't do it without you. With you, I can do all things. Without you, I can do nothing. Define yourself reveal yourself to me. What else? What's a respectable man? How many of you have had a respectable man's influence in your life? Maybe a father or a grandfather or a relative or somebody, right? So that becomes a form and a possible role model, not necessarily an absolute because nobody's perfect. When we were dealing with our, in the middle of our stuff, I was asking him, and he told me, he said, I want you to go look at how my son Jesus dealt with certain situations that were challenging and certain people. And I want you to learn how he handled that. The times where he was soft and gentle and kind and loving, and the times where he was as fierce as a lion. That was a respectable man.
Yeah.
So, wives, respect your husbands. Maybe that's the right translation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a good program. Because the program, we say, oh, you should do this. Just like she was saying earlier, my husband should pray for me every day. What does that mean? Define it. Does it mean that it only fits, if it only fits the program that's in the mind, that when the thing was said, oh, husband prays for me, the picture, I have a picture in my mind. That matches the picture, doesn't match the picture. If it matches, okay, I'm happy. If it doesn't match, I'm not happy.
Yep.
When he said the greatest commandment of all is to love.
Yeah.
And the first part of love is patient. So then we forsake the greatest commandment, which he said, if we walk in love and we walk in the Spirit, there is no law. So we forsake the greatest commandment for a program, which is an expectation, some word somebody spoke, our picture of that, and on the guy's side, wives respect their husbands. And I forget to love. Says, husbands, love your wives. What is a lovable wife? Oops.
Let's go there. What is a lovable wife?
What's supportive?
Encouraging.
What's encouraging? What is patient? What does patient look like? What does it look like in your world, in your relationship, specifically as it relates to you and your husband or wife? Because it might be a very different thing than what it looked like for us. And the Creator knows your history. He knows your wounds. He knows your past. He knows your struggles. He knows your battles that you've overcome. And He knows the bullcrap that's going on in your head and in her head still. And vice versa. So you hear something, you hear the God you can see on stage speak a word, and we forsake the one true God, the one we can't see, and we seek after that because that's what man does. The mind of man wants a God we can see, one we can touch and feel, instead of the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe. We say, Father, define it for me, teach me.
So it's
so all
to the
those
same
words
place.
Are important. That's it's the starting
back to the
point.
Same place. It's Father, show me what a lovable wife is,
or patience. You know, what did I had to ask him? What does patience mean in our relationship? How does she receive patience? Show me where I'm not patient. Because I can look at the word and I can say, I'm patient.
Yep.
Shit, you know how long I've been freaking patient. Damn, I'm patient.
So true. So how many of you do that? Women and men, both.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And someone accuses you of not being patient, you prove
you're
going to
defend yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have any idea how damn patient I've been.
We've had that conversation.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because perception is reality. Plant in me your patience. Help teach me how to love her the way you love her. Help me see her the way you see her. Because if all I'm doing is looking at the word, I can tell you all day long how patient I am. If you want to get in an argument about it, I'll win that argument. But my wife doesn't feel it. It's not happening. I'm not patient. I'm not loving her. I'm wounding her. Every time I open my words, my body language, it's a wound that I can't make sense out of my mind until I ask him to tell me and define it and teach it and show me what happened, what's going on, what am I doing, what am I saying, how am I responding to things that are triggering and feeding and wounding and rewounding. Yep. So standing here all day long and telling you how patient I am, it's the curse
of knowledge.
It's the curse of knowledge.
Wow.
From the tree.
That's
of
right.
Good and evil. It's the fucking curse. Because I can sit here and rationalize and justify why I'm patient. I'm good. I can look at the list. I can look at the word. I can, the programs in my brain, and relative to it, today I'm either patient or I'm not patient. So then I give her that power, and she says, you did a good job today. You were very patient. Wow, my God just made me. Just defined me. Just validated me. Then tomorrow, not so good today, honey. So then tomorrow, my God just destroyed me. Just knocked me down. Because I'm under the curse of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm comparing myself, and I'm living in idolatry, and the most important person in my life has the power to make or break or create me in a day. Wow. in any given moment in time. And I'm either hitting the mark or I'm not hitting the mark. Father, teach me patience. Teach me your patience. Because I care about what she says. I care a lot. It means a lot to me. And if I'm not hitting the mark, I'm not happy.
And failing.
And I'm failing. Yeah. And if that goes on for too long,
yeah.
No bueno.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Can we do the lovable wife?
Yeah.
So what is a lovable wife? Warm. Again, the words are important, and they're a starting place. And they're the starting place to say, Father, show me how my husband needs me to be warm for him. This is a prayer, by the way, I've prayed. I don't know if you know this, but I have prayed the prayer for 24 years, almost 24 years. Teach me how to love Hans. Teach me how to love Hans. Teach me how to be the wife he needs me to be. That is something I have prayed for our entire married life. And it has been a 24-year journey of learning how to be that wife. By him teaching me how. I encourage you ladies to do that because God knows your husband. He made him a certain way. Man can't tell you what he can tell you and show you and to give you ears. Give me ears to hear how he receives me being warm and gentle and soft and strong when I need to be strong. Soft when I need to be soft. Not strong, controlling, condemning. Do you understand? Fiery darts, none of that stuff. But when I'm supposed to stand firm, and when with honor and respect that I'm supposed to, sorry, honor and respect, chew. So how to be a loving wife? I can't tell you how to be that. God can tell you how to be that. And I believe, and I've asked Hans, teach me what shows you that I love you. Teach me what, tell me what I do or say that helps you to feel like I support you or love you or that I honor or that I respect you. That's been helpful, but what's been more helpful is, to be honest with you, what has been the most helpful is his leadership, learning from God, and I am responding to it. I'm literally. The healing that's happened in him has brought so much healing to me. As he's sought him, it has put my spirit to rest and has brought a softness. At least that's what he has told me. A softness in me that I worked for years that wouldn't produce. Do you understand? Trying so hard to be that, trying so hard to respect, trying so hard to honor, but as this transformation happened, this naturally happened in me, where it's with ease in me. So here's what I feel like we're supposed to do. You made a list of stress points. I really want you to understand that the sooner you guys make things right with each other, the sooner everything changes. So here we just discovered, and Hans, that was the bomb of the day, about what is a respectable man.
Make the list.
Make the list.
Make the list and spend some time with him.
Yeah.
But start the list now.
Well, how many of you started a list already? What is a respectable man? So here, so we've already discovered right there that there's probably something that needs to be done. What do you think?
I'm sorry, I got to say something. The men, that's your list.
Yep.
That's not her list.
That's right. And ladies,
it's not for her.
It's not your list.
It's not for her to make a list for the guy and don't look at her and go, tell me what a respectable man is. Don't you do that. You know. You know what it is.
Yeah.
You want to know why? You know? Because you're attracted to it too. You know what it is. You don't need her to give you a list. You start with what you know, and then you ask him. And that's not to dishonor the wife and her input in that.
It's not dishonoring. It's not dishonoring. It's relieving to me. It's relieving to me, and not only that, but we don't need a list in our hands of a measuring stick for him to add more pressure. We're supposed to be the pressure relievers, not the pressure givers. Hello, helpmate doesn't add more pressure. The helpmate doesn't give a measuring stick to show him where he's failing. So it's the same answer to you. What is a loving wife? You know what that is. Do you not know what that is? And you too are also attracted to it, and you desire to be it. It is our environment that pushes against it. It's the training of our culture that is trying to tell us not to be it. There's nothing about feminism that is loving. Nothing about feminism that is loving. Nothing. It's competition. It's assertion. Trying to be something that we are not. We already have our position of beauty. We already have our position of strength in that beauty. We already have our position in being loving and warm and gentle and strong when we're supposed to be strong. We already have our position of being able to manage a lot of different emotions. We already have our position of the love for the poor. We have our position for the love and the care of our husbands and our children. We already have that. We don't have to earn it or try to create it. It's already in us naturally. It's how we were wired, just as we were wired to respect our husbands. That was so amazing. It is how we were made to submit naturally. That's the way we were put together. But it's everything in our culture that is trying to teach us to not submit. Do you understand? So you know what it means to be a loving wife. But now it's another level of, teach me how to love my husband. The Bible says that. And it also says older women teach the younger women how to love their wives. I found that 24 years ago. I was like, wow, it must not be natural. The Bible says teach older women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Yep. Teach them how, which went, wow, not, this is not natural.
It's not
me.
Just loving wife. It's lovable wife.
Yeah, that's very different.
What is a respectable man?
And a lovable.
What is a lovable wife?
So women.
It says men, husbands, love your wives.
Yeah. So men, you made a list. Women, I know you've made a list as your center. What is a lovable wife? Now we take the list to a deeper place. But what I want us to do right now is not lose any moment of this moment right here. How many of you discovered, men, there's places that you haven't been respectable? Women, how many found places that you are not lovable? What should we do? Excuse me? Confess. Because God Almighty just revealed to you, men, respectable, and women, lovable. He just opened your eyes in this truth bomb discussion, and you went, how many of you went, I need to make something. It's not, oh, I suck. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'm failing. Oh, I don't measure up here. No, it's, oh, I need to make that right. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, it's that self-destructive lie from our past as a six-year-old perception trying to live in an adult world that says, I failed, I did wrong, I'm bad, all depending on our childhood, by the way. know, I'm always wrong. I always suck. I always fail. I'm never going to get it. How do you stop those programs from talking? You stop it short with, woo, thank you. I'm going to fix that right now. I'm going to start the process of, ooh, I need to ask my wife to forgive me. I need to ask my husband to forgive me. And that is massive, and that is how we are today. Meaning that when we discover something, it's like yesterday, like I went back up, I'm like, please forgive me. You were asking for room and I didn't understand what you were saying. The word was different. I need space. To me, space communicated that he wanted away from me, that he was trying to, you know what I mean? That it wasn't honoring us, but that I need my own place. I need my own whatever. So no, room. He needed room. Like, you do need room. He never even had his own room. I'm not kidding you. He lived in a lanai. He lived in other people's rooms. He moved out, got his own place, and his mother moved in with him. And then he moved in with me. He never had his own room. So here last night, I went upstairs. I'm like, please forgive me. Because he even said with tears in his eyes, like, I need my own room. Like, room. I need my own room. Like, okay, I'm hearing you. Last night, please forgive. As soon as I discovered, like, oh, man, I was wrong. Not, I suck as a wife. I always suck as a wife. I'm never going to get it right. I'm not made for this. How you stop, how many of you do that to yourselves? How you stop that from happening is this. Make it right. Please forgive me. I missed it here, and I'm working on this. And right away, I forgive you. Absolutely. Okay, so let's do that right now. As you're sitting with each other, men, you found the respectable, the beginning of it. It's going to go deeper. Do you understand? It's going to go deeper. And as you seek God, you're going to get more and more revelation of what this respectable thing is. Women, the lovable, how to be a lovable wife. That's going to get revealed to you more and more through time. Do you understand? All of this takes time. We are all going to be discovering each other for the rest of our lives. For the rest of our lives. Okay? So let's right now take a few minutes, sit with each other. Husbands, obviously, you lead the way with the respectable conversation and asking your wives, confess to your wives what you know you need to confess to your wives, and then wives, you'll have your chance to confess what you know you need to confess. And let's, wow. Okay, well, some good stuff going on in here. It's awesome. Some really good stuff that happened up here. If you haven't had the opportunity yet to do this, we're gonna break for lunch so that you guys can continue in this space. But before you get your head there, there's a few more things that I think are important to add to what you're doing right now. If we sum up the whole morning, there was a lot that was talked about. One being entitlement, right? How many of you felt conviction about that entitlement, right? We need to, do you know what I mean? It's like every single place that there has been a breach of honor and a door open for division of you as a couple, of dividing the one flesh into two instead of pulling it closer together. I don't know if you've looked at our stage here, but this is a picture, and it was an accident, of two people. As they get closer to God, who's above, touching our heads, reaching down, saying, come closer to me. Come closer to me. And he pulls us in together. That's what's happening right this minute with this time of confession, getting to know each other, asking for forgiveness, owning our own stuff, right? The more you can do that, and the more this is a practice, you've heard me say that, a first step to success. Forgiveness is it's a habit, it's a practice, it's not a one-time thing. It is something that has to be done often. And getting in the habit of seeing what needs to be asked for forgiveness or made right so that there's no door that gets that widening, wider, wider, pulling further and further apart, right? So at lunch, deal with the entitlement issue of all the things that we've just not thanked our spouse for. He's been a very patient man with me. I haven't thanked him enough. That's one of the things I just said. Please forgive me for not being, not even recognizing all the times and the places you have been patient with me. All I said was where you weren't patient. Look at us, right? Isn't that what we do? We complain about what we don't get, but we don't thank for what we do get, right? So, okay, when it comes to sex, do you say thank you after that? Think about it. Or is it just expected? Is it just expected? Or do we say, man, thank you for that. Thank you for that time. Thank you for that closeness. There's so many things that we just don't feed to cause flourishment to come. But instead, we just neglect. We get it. We don't say anything about it. We don't encourage about it or say, this is working. This is wonderful. This has blessed me. That's with provision, with food, with everything. Again, what you feed will, what you neglect will. So the entitlement thing was talked about, this respect thing, the lovable thing, the, I want you to also go here. We live in a culture that curses womanhood and manhood. We really do. It's not, the feminist movement curses womanhood and manhood. How? The woman as a mother, as a wife, it's like a degraded position, but it's the highest, most respected position biblically. But it is degraded. You give birth 6 weeks later, you put your kids in an institution to be raised by the government. Do you understand? So our very womanhood has been cursed. And Hans just said something to me that just nailed me. Because it happens here too. So I think you... I don't know where it's at. What? I had said to him, I didn't thank you enough for all the diapers that you changed. I always complained about how he didn't help and where he didn't help. I never focused on how he did. And letting me sleep was just massive. Him getting up with the kids and taking them to school was just massive. And he had his own reasons for it. He was like, I need to get myself up. If I don't get up, I'm going to sleep too long. I won't go to the gym or whatever. It was a blessing that he did that for me. I needed that so badly. I had so many kids back to back, and he wanted rest for me. I had major back problems. He was so kind, and I didn't thank him enough for being so kind to me during that time and allowing me to take the time off that I needed to take off to recover from spitting a giant kid out of my freaking hole. It's reality, man. Motherhood is hard. It's hard. And it sucks. And he was so gentle with me and so kind to me. And I just took it for granted, man. I did. I absolutely took it for granted. So he then said something to me that was insanely powerful. And I think it'll be very healing and something to address here.
Esther, to forgive me for all for not knowing how to lead her. Is that what you're, the one you're talking
no.
about? That was the one that...
My woman.
Not knowing how to bless her. Oh, yeah, that too, yeah.
That's the biggie.
Well, the biggie
you
was...
You valued me in work.
I had two things. So one was I asked her to forgive me for not knowing how to lead her. All these years. Took so long. And so that was a big one. And then the other one was not blessing her as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother. We met
in business,
and that frame was always there. And so it was like I always... That was the dominant frame, and it overshadowed everything else. Yes. It prevented me from being able to see and acknowledge the greatest desire of her heart was to be a good wife, to be a good mother. And for somebody with her skill and her talent, you know, if 1,000 women with that ability, all 1,000 of them would have walked from those priorities and gone after the recognition and the fame and the things that, and she never did. She never turned her back on, not that there weren't challenges, not that there weren't times, but she never turned her back on her husband. She never turned her back on her kids. And so I didn't recognize that the way that I should have and didn't affirm that and bless that. And, that was the most important thing to her.
Yes.
I knew it here, but that frame of the business and all that was just,
I was more valuable in business. But I didn't like business. I still don't like business. It's not my heart. It doesn't mean anything to me. But what matters the most to me is being a good wife and a mom. And that's the part that my whole life's been dedicated to, is being my role as a wife and a mother. And this moment where you said, please forgive me, I didn't value you as a wife and a mom. I valued you more in business, but not as a wife and a mother. So healing. Yeah. Yeah. Know that there's some of you in this room, it's the same.
You know, the other thing I asked her too is to forgive me for not knowing how to bless, and that I'm learning. And I thought back, that's a respectable man. A respectable man blesses.
Yes.
And yeah.
It's so funny you said earlier about, you know, I don't need you to do my laundry. I don't need you to cook for me. I don't need any of that. And that was part of, again, and by the way, that's rejection right there. It's rejection of a blessing. And that's part of what the healing was, is being healed of being, he was rejected. He was abandoned as a son by his father, sort of. His mother stole him away from the father. But that rejection, abandonment spirit that can be in us who come from divorced families or whatever, that you reject the blessing that you have in your life. And so even though I'm like serving, you know, here's a gourmet meal, here's your clothes are clean, here's a house that's clean. What, it didn't mean anything.
What changed? Yeah. You're my son.
Yes.
I love you.
Yes.
Father, you are my provider. Thank you, Father, for providing this woman in my life. So now the laundry is a form of worship. Thank you, Father. It's not this woman that I'm in strife with or whatever reason, and I don't need you to do that. You know, me proving, no, I don't need a woman to do my laundry. You know, it was no longer that, and it wasn't even just the, I need to bless my wife. Like it, I don't know. The way he dealt with me on stuff, it cut away all of, and he still does. And it's just like, no, I'm doing that for you through her. So, not that it's not you.
No, I get it.
It's totally.
But now you receive it as a blessing.
Yes.
Exactly. Versus the blessing being totally dishonored.
It is how he. It was, I'm showing you love, son.
Yeah.
I am your provider.
Yeah.
It's no longer, oh, my wife is doing X, Y, and Z. No, this is how our Father provides. So you're right. It's right. I can receive it.
Yes.
Now, I couldn't before.
And then you used to question me why I did it. Yeah, you'd be like, well, you're only doing that because of, and I'm like, oh, that's not why I'm doing that. But again, that's in the midst
and
of all
this.
And
we did that
stories.
To each other with all kinds of things, you know, because of the.
Again, the same issues.
Yeah, same issues, really.
had, and we don't need to keep belaboring those same issues, but the point is that many of you women, your womanhood has been cursed, has not been valued culturally, by church, and in some of our marriages, where we feel completely devalued in that place because our culture does not any longer value a wife and a mother. They want her to forsake that position and go do something else 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And it's a wonderful grand plan of division for our families is what it is. So there hasn't been a lot of great celebration for this role. Therefore, women feel totally useless in the home, and we feel more celebrated out of the home. I'm the opposite, meaning I felt useless also in the home, but my point is that all the celebration out of the home has never fulfilled me. It's not been the recognition of it. None of that stuff motivates me. It doesn't matter to me. It can be a burden, honestly. But the point is that husbands, you might have a wife that needs to hear what God clearly spoke through Hans with that place of honoring the woman that God has blessed you with and what she's done there. So a lot of women have forsaken their homes because they feel more valuable elsewhere. And why? Because we're not feeling valued in our rightful position, our honorable position, the thing we were made for, the thing that's natural to us, all of a sudden becomes unnatural to us. So anyway, let's have lunch, and again, let's know what we're dealing with, right? Let's keep talking, you know, keep this conversation going of whatever it is that you discovered this morning of going deeper on it. And remember, each one of you owning it, right? You're owning your part of it and making it right. I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock.